Welcome to the Get Over Divorce podcast, where you will learn to get your power back, hold healthy boundaries, and become the confident, successful single woman you were meant to be. Divorce sucks, but the rest of your life doesn't have to. Let's create a life you love. I'm your host, relationship coach, Julie Danielson. Let's do this. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the podcast. I wanted to tackle this topic today because I feel like it's something that a lot of women that I end up working with initially struggle with. And that is learning to trust a man after they were betrayed during their marriage. Now, before we dive into how to trust again, it's really important that we try to understand betrayal. We have to look at this problem from several different angles, and not just from the victim standpoint, even though we're going to start there, but from other points of view. From the view of the victim, betrayal was something that happened to her, and it did, and I'm not undermining that in any way. But as I've said before, that there is no power in remaining a victim. So we have to find a way to have power over this situation. And by doing that, we look at other angles. Okay? So when we really peel back the layers of a relationship, we can find a lot of faults that caused the breakdown of the marriage even prior to the cheating happening. So I'm just going to brainstorm some possibilities of what could have occurred prior to the cheating. And I came up with 7 possibilities. There's probably more, but this is just what I could think of. So 1, maybe you were very young or inexperienced in relationships and you didn't know what you actually needed in a man when you chose this one. And this is really common. I know I met my first husband when I was 19, and a lot of women choose when they're very young. Okay? And then 2, we are not really taught how to have a healthy relationship. Even for the ladies that had parents who are still together and in love to this day, make mistakes choosing a partner. I've seen it for myself. And then 3, we choose a partner because we fell in love with them rather than choosing a partner who we will allow ourselves to fall in love with because they've met all the criteria of what we need. Now think about that for a second, because a lot of people say, I can't help who I fall in love with. And I think that's like being a victim to love and not being powerful in making healthy decisions of who you decide you will continue to date. It's like the woman who allows herself to be chosen rather than doing the choosing. And the truth is, we all have the power to break up. And unfortunately, many people avoid the pain of breaking up with somebody at all costs, that they even end up married and experiencing 10 times the amount of pain trying to hold that relationship together that was never meant to be in the first place. 4, there were red flags and you choose to ignore them. This one is so common. Almost all of the women that I've ever worked with will admit that they had seen some red flags and they just didn't know better. So they kept going with that relationship. I think it's very common. And then 5, you believed he would be someone that he was not, nor was he ever going to be. I know this one hurts, but a lot of times we make up a fantasy story of how somebody should be. And then your husband could never live up to that because it was not aligned with the truth of who he really was, right? You might have been in a fantasy and not really living in truth. And I think people show us every day who they are, but often we refuse to see it and we hold out this hope that they will change and they don't. Okay, so don't make that mistake again. And then 6, I think for a lot of young people everywhere, they think marriage is the ultimate commitment and that the commitment itself is enough. Like, love is enough. Love is all you need. And I hate to say the words marriage takes work because I truly believe that is a cliche. And it's not necessarily true, but marriage takes a choosing to connect regularly and choosing to be an equal partner, choosing to be an equal parent, and choosing to take on the duties of adulting together. So the work in a marriage is actually your own personal work of being a good human. It is not work to try to be the person your spouse wants you to be. It is just doing the work of having humility and being vulnerable and doing the things it takes to have a really deeply connected marriage. Okay, and then number 7, I think people believe they need to be a good wife and a good girl. But is that who you were when you got married? Or did you lose yourself in the idea that you wanted to make him happy and you forget what makes you happy? I think this is true for a lot of women, that they went to work on trying to be the good wife and the good girl, that they forgot to take care of their own needs. And the reality is, and women really need to know this, they need to take responsibility for getting your own needs and desires met. When you outsource that to your unsuspecting husband who did not get the memo, he's going to fail you. And this doesn't mean he has nothing to do with you getting your needs met, but it is on you to fully express to him what those needs are. This doesn't mean he has nothing to do with you getting your needs met, but it is up to you to fully express to him what those needs are. And honestly, this should have been done in the dating period initially because he might not be supportive of you getting your wants and needs and desires met. And if you found this out during the courtship, ideally you would have broken it off with him because he wasn't a good fit for you, right? Okay, so that was 7 possibilities that could have caused the breakdown of the marriage. Now let's look at this from the perspective of, like, why do people cheat? I've talked to a lot of women and a few men on this topic, and a lot of people express shame and regret around cheating. And I've also talked to many women whose husbands blamed them for the husband's cheating. And they've said awful things to her, and they blamed her for not being pretty enough or looking good enough or for being overweight or for being cold and frigid, right? All of those are like bullshit excuses that narcissists use to deflect responsibility. The true core of why people cheat is because they are insecure. They have a low self-esteem. And they were looking for outside validation that they are whatever, fill in the blank, sexy, worthy, whatever it is, that the thrill of being with someone else gave them that feeling that they were searching for. And rather than turning towards the partner to get that feeling, they turned outside the marriage because maybe it felt easier in some way. You know, and there's so many different scenarios. I probably can't cover all of them. And honestly, like, we've all seen those bachelor party movies where they all go to Vegas and the men behave badly and cheat with a stripper. And I would probably say that that's just a guy who has no integrity, and that kind of thing needs to be figured out before you walk down the aisle with somebody, right? But when you think about all of these things I just discussed, like, what do you think it would really take to make sure you marry someone that won't cheat on you? And I'll tell you what I think it is. Number one, I think it's having 1,000% faith in yourself to choose wisely. not just fall in love with the next guy that comes along and checks all the boxes on paper, but it's so important that women learn from their past and not repeat the mistakes that they did when they did not choose wisely. And there's one more thing that I want to throw in here. This is like completely, I don't know, out of the blue, and it goes against the grain. People always say, once a cheater, always a cheater. And I don't believe this is true. I've met women who were in terrible marriages, who were terribly lonely, and they cheated. Does this mean she will always cheat? No. She was alone, and as humans, we seek connection. And she was unable to get that with her husband. So even if the roles were reversed, and we're talking about men here, I believe that people can change. And I'm in the business of helping people become the person that they want to be. And that is change. So I will never subscribe to the bullshit, once a cheater, always a cheater, because it's a blanket statement that does not take into consideration other possible truths. Now, is it possible for a narcissist to change and be a different person? I think he'll tell you it's possible, but the only real answer is if they truly want to. And by definition, narcissists don't usually believe that they ever did anything wrong in the first place. So we're really talking about normal people without that specific issue. So how do you trust again? This is like the big question of the day. First, you really need to build trust in yourself. Trust that you will not settle for the wrong guy. And to do that, you need to create a strong sense of self-esteem, because it really does take a strong self-esteem to be able to break it off with somebody that isn't a good fit for you, even if you have feelings for that person. It takes a strong self-esteem to break it off, knowing and truly believing that there is something better for you out there. And there is. And when you do find yourself in a relationship, you need to be willing to learn all you need to learn about this person. You need to find out if he will turn towards you when the going gets tough. Can he be vulnerable with you? Is he transparent? Does he have integrity? Do his friends speak highly of him? When you both care about your relationship and you go to work building a solid foundation based on trust, safety, respect, and a partnership that is always building a deeper, stronger connection, then your relationship can stand the test of time. It really does take a couple that is committed to their own personal growth individually so that they can continue to grow together. And that gives them the ability to have that humility that's required to be deeply connected. So when you think of everything I just described, can you say that your marriage had that? Probably not, because most relationships don't, and that's why most marriages end in divorce. It takes doing the work on yourself first, becoming the person that is worthy of this deep relationship, and maintaining those high standards that it takes to be in that relationship. Now, I've been remarried 13 years. I can't even believe it. And it's not perfect. Nothing's perfect. But when I do feel disconnected and I feel like I need to talk and get that connection back, I speak up. I am responsible for getting my wants and needs met, right? So I speak up and I say that. And I take responsibility for getting my wants and needs met. I'm not just waiting for him to notice that something's wrong. Like, that would be expecting him to read my mind. And it would be me putting my needs in his hands and expecting him to guess at what those are. So granted, for me to reconnect with him, he has to agree to it. But that is what a mutually respectful and loving relationship looks like. And you can have that. I've had many clients go on to find this kind of relationship, and they did so because they learned how to be the woman that does not settle for less than this specific type of man. So if you want this, it is absolutely in your power. And if you want help with that, as always, reach out to me and book a divorce breakthrough session. All right, everyone, that's it for today. Thank you so much for being here. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Bye. Have you ever wanted to work with me as your coach to help you get over the emotional toll that divorce takes and gain my step-by-step method to making the rest of your life the absolute best chapter yet? Now is the time. The sooner you start, the sooner you get results. Head over to getoverdivorce.com/breakthrough and get started now.